allowed coal into a street that the police killed me with the gun.
Where'd you get this guy? Where'd you find this guy? No comment. But I must say that from the time that I was invited to join in this beautiful event to the time that I walked in here and heard a little bit more what was going on, I have a completely different perspective. In fact, I think Reb Moshe, as he's called, his talk and the talk of Mr. Cohen and Rabbi Bressler and everything that I've been hearing here really helped me to understand what I always felt was a cryptic piece in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch was a book written as a gift for his bar mitzvah bocher. And in this gift, he explains to him what he calls the tam v'toeles, the reasons and the benefits of the taryag mitzvahs. And when it comes to the mitzvah of Pora Adumo, he admits a paralysis. He says, I couldn't even approach it. Shlomo HaMelech said, Choshavti ech kemo v'hi rechoyko mimeni. I thought I would be wise, and it was beyond me, and Chazal say he was referring to the mitzvah of Pora Aduma. Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand it. The Medrash says that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lecho ani megaleh, I will reveal the secret of Pora Aduma to you, but to no one else. And the Baal Sefer HaChinuch, who lived about 500 years ago in the Tkufa of the Rishonim, he was a Rishon, is overwhelmed. How can I even begin to attempt to explain a mitzvah that Shlomo HaMelech couldn't comprehend and that Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he's going to be the only one to whom it will be revealed? And the truth of the matter is that at the very end, he does offer some type of an explanation with an apology. And his apology goes like this. He says, really, I'm not sure that what I say is what it should be. But he says, Chibas HaKodesh, the love for Dvorim Shebektusha, for the words of the Holy Torah, V'cheshek Lehovim Nistorois, and that passionate desire to understand the depths of the secrets of Hashem's Torah, forced my hand to write, and therefore it came out. In other words, he says that I really shouldn't have done this. I couldn't stop myself. I had such a passion to understand the Torah. I was so overwhelmed with this cheshek to know and to understand and to reveal that which is hidden, that with all my paralysis, and the paralysis was great, because on every other mitzvah he wrote Tam V'Toeles. And in the mitzvah of Kol Sur V'Chol Dvash Le'Isaktiru Ishal Hashem, the mitzvah of prohibition against bringing leaven and honey on the Mizbeach, he writes there that he also wasn't sure of it, but he was afraid, and his lotion is that if he doesn't write Tam V'Toeles on every mitzvah, he's afraid that his children, his son and his friends who he's writing this book for, will think the Torah is a Sefer Chosum, it's a closed book, they won't understand it. And he says, and I quote, Pen yivatu bohem mitochkach b'na'arusom v'yanichom le'oilom v'yelchu lehebel. I'm afraid they will rebel against the Torah in their youth and forsake it forever. That's even worse than what's happening today, because today, Baruch Hashem, most of them are coming back. Doesn't mean that others aren't still going away, but they're coming back. And we know the Hevel of 500 years ago was not what the Hevel is today. And he was afraid his children would go off the derech. And that was the most important matara. That's the reason he wrote the book. And still, he could not bring himself to write a Tam V'Toeles in Pora Aduma, because intellectually he was paralyzed. Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand it. Moshe Rabbeinu would be the only one to whom it would be revealed. But that Chibas HaKodesh overrode even that love for his children, that he wants to make sure that they stay on the derech, and he must come up with some explanation. but he just couldn't control himself. I must understand the secret of Pora Aduma, that love that I have for Hashem, that love that I have for Torah, that desire that I have to reveal that which is hidden in the Torah, just became overwhelming. And in his Loshen is, my hand forced me to write. It happened by, I was an anus. I couldn't control myself. That was his passion to understand the Torah. And I must tell you that at this event, when we hear such passionate talk, not from people who have spent their lives in learning, and not from people who are paid to learn or to teach, but people who just have that burning desire, that cheshek, to understand Hashem's Torah, that realization that kihem chayenu ve'oirech yomenu, that this is what life is all about, uvohem nege yoimon v'olayla, and therefore we must be, even at the price of Mesiras Nefesh, to study the Torah day and night. This is truly something else, and I must admit that I think I'm still far away from it, but begin to understand that Chibas HaKodesh and that Cheshek Lehovim Ministoris, when I hear what goes on in this wonderful Koilil Tiferes Ovis. The truth is that as we approach Shavuos, the anniversary of Kabbalah Satera, 3,330 years ago, a week from today, we wonder, how can we identify? How can we connect? How can we appreciate? How can we relive that glorious event? That event, which was the seminal event in all of human history, was the most important, the most significant, was the time when the Creator Himself revealed publicly to an entire nation the purpose for which we were created. The world craved that. The world looked for that. People have been craving for that sense of purpose since time immemorial. And the Klal Yisrael, 3,330 years ago, was privileged to hear it directly from the manufacturer himself. He gave us the manual. And we continue, we've passed on that manual from generation to generation, and we continue to study it, the young and the middle-aged and the elderly. And this is our lives. How could we better appreciate? How could we connect? Well, there's an interesting comment. It's even a piece of a Rashi at the beginning of Shir HaShirim. And Rashi says that when the Jew in the Golus is mishtasheya b'Torah, when he delights in the Torah, shom mazkirin doidov miyayin o meishara avos amoysoi, he remembers the relationship that was felt, the love that was felt at Har Sinai. That which he craves, Rashi says at the beginning of Shishokeinim and Shikoyspiu, he craves to reconnect with Hashem, that feeling of closeness, of love, of revelation that we felt in Har Sinai. When he delights in the study of Torah, he remembers that, he relives that. It becomes ke'ilu, a living experience. The Torah says that that's what we make Birchas HaTorah, asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim, that brocha goes on Maimon Har Sinai. We make a brocha every day to appreciate the gift of Har Sinai. And when we delight in the Torah, we can remember it, we can relive it as if it was happening in front of our eyes. V'mishur ha'avos ha'moisoi, and the love that we reciprocated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time in Har Sinai, when we followed him blindly into the desert, when we said, Na'aseh Koinu L'Nishma, we can relive these events with the delighting of the Torah. And the truth of the matter is, learning Torah has to be delightful. It's the strangest of brochas that we make. We make the brocha on Birchas HaTorah Asher Kiddushonu, and then we say, V'harivno. Make it pleasant, make it delightful. Like, we don't find about anything else. That's so critical to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to the experience of Talmud Torah, that it's delightful, that it's a shashua. I'll never forget the Rebbe Ben Zion. There was a cheder Rebbe in Yerushalayim. And one summer that I had my little children there, and when we were leaving, I saw he had rachmanis on these poor little kids that have to go back to America, you know, like Nebuch, what's going to happen to them? And so he calls me over, he's going to give me a lesson in chinuch, how you teach Torah. So he says like this, I want to teach you like this. And he says to me in Yiddish, he says, it makes no difference if you're learning Aleph Beis to Rambam. Alephaeus is the beginning. Rambam was, in his estimation, the highest. It has to be lulei teiroscho shashuoi. It has to be delightful. It has to be exciting. It has to be dynamic. It has to be fun. And if it's shashuoi, if it's delightful, everything else will follow. And I believe that that may be the pshat in something very strange in the nuance of this brocha. Because we ask, we ask that the Torah should be pleasant, should be sweet in our mouths and in Amcha Beis Yisrael. No mention of our children. Then we say, we should be, and our children should be, maybe. Should all be those that know your name, Hashem, and study your Torah Lishmo. Why didn't we ask that it should be sweet for our children? And then we say, oh, the Torah will be we're all going to be learning, us and our children. Only there, when we speak about what's going to happen, do we mention the children. And it might be, I don't know for sure, but it might very well be that if the Vaharivno is mekuyim in us, if the Torah is sweet to us, and our children, as children I see over here and over here, have seen that in their parents, that that Torah is so delightful to them, then automatically everybody wants delight. Everybody wants happiness. Everybody wants to feel good. And if this Torah can make my father so happy, can be so important to him, can give him the strength to be Meisa Nefesh, the cold nights in the middle of the winter, and the day and the night, and retirement, and giving up so much to be able to learn, that sweetness is contagious. And the Mela, we can be sure, that's the power that the sweetness of Torah has, and that sweetness can allow us, every time we learn, to re-experience in a certain level the Maimon Har Sinai, the privilege of standing by Har Sinai, the privilege of being having been revealed to us by the Creator Himself in a public forum that was incontrovertible. The purpose for which He created the world and the way that we have to live our lives in order to truly have a life. I would just like to conclude with a personal story. Many years ago, when we were living in Los Angeles, we had a yeshiva there, yeshiva high school, small base medrash. Our philosophy then, this was in the early 80s, was to send away the high school graduates to out of town, to New York, to Eretz Yisrael, as much as possible. Los Angeles was not the place for them to spend their formative years. And it was a summer, and a whole group, about five, six, of very distinguished and accomplished yeshiva bocherim had come back for the summer, graduates of our high school, and they offered the following enticing offer. They said, we will stay for the year to learn at the Beis Medrash on the condition that not only that I give a shir every day in the Beis Medrash, which I did, but to spend the first Seder, 4 hours of the day in the Beis Medrash with them, to be able to talk and learning it, because it was just a very small oilam, and to make it much more beneficial and palatable for them. And of course I was enticed by the offer, but I said, I don't know. I said, I have so much money that I owe from previous years, that's the name of the game, so much that I have to raise for this coming year, and so many obligations in teaching and other things. How can I spend 4 hours a day, prime time, in the Beis Medrash when I have so many other responsibilities? I said, but I don't like to make rash decisions, so give me 24 hours and I'll give you an answer. This was sort of the middle of Av after Tisha B'Av, talking about Rosh Chodesh Elul. I go home and I ask my wife, and she says, it's a Mishnah Mefureshes in Pirkei Avos. Omer Reb Nechunya ben Hakona, Perek Gimel. Omer Reb Nechunya ben Hakona, Hamekabel Olav Oil Toiro, Mavir Mimeno Oil Malchus, the Oil Derech Eretz. One who accepts upon himself the burden of Torah is miraculously removed from him the burden of Malchus. To us, that meant payroll taxes. They can kill you, especially when you have a high school with a joint program. Malchus and Derech Eretz, and making a living, making money. If you makabel the burden of Torah, you don't have to worry about money. I'm makabel. Convinced, Next morning, I went back. I told these chevra, Rosh Chodesh Elul, you'll see me, you'll meet me in the Beis Medrash for the whole morning Seder. That night, I meet a young man who was a former student of ours in the yeshiva. And he says, my father wants to talk to you. Okay, I give his father a call. It's a long story. I don't want to burden you with the story. But the young man that I met that night, within a period of a few weeks, we had met someone and was very sick and had no family. He wrote a will. He passed away by Yud Zayin Elul. He left the yeshiva $1 million. That was in the 80s. That was a lot of money. I don't know what it is today exactly. But HaMekabel Olav Oil Toiro Ma'avira Mimenu Oil Malchus Vel Derech Eretz. In the same day. That's what happens. And that's really what this breakfast, and that's really what this Koil of the Beres Obis is all about. It's this Kabbalas Oil Toiro. It's that people, no matter what else is important in their lives, no matter what stage of life they are, but this commitment to learning. And the Mesiras Nefesh of those that teach in the Torah, Rabbi Bressler and Rabbi Shiner and others that are maybe involved, and the supporters, have really such a schus of assuring that the Torah survives and remains the delight of so many individuals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that the Kolel should be matzliach, and we should all be zeiche to see the day when the kiyum of the Nebuah will be omolo oretz deyas Hashem kimaim le'yam echasim.
I want to give Rav Shaya another bracha. The fact that he came, you don't know what it means for him to take time out from his yeshivas, from his hero. The fact that he came here, he should get another $1 million.
Oh man. Now, even though
$1 million is not worth that much.
I'll take it anyway. That's okay. Okay. Okay, Shkoyach.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to see you. Your husband spoke so beautifully. All the best. Have nachas.
My mother's name is Subramanian.
What's that? Yeah, I know.
My cousin is Jack.
I know.
You're a wrestler.
Thank you. I'm glad I walked in when you were speaking there. Wow. Be well.
The best stress I heard in a long time.
Really? I know who you are.
Of course. This is how they used to walk with you.
Okay, no, it's okay.
There's something about you. You're going to bring us Mashiach.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's exactly it.
Father is a Talmud Chacham on his day and night in Israel. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a penny. They're going to take away his house, the deer, his wife's servants. So how do you reconcile? Baruch is Gelungen with $1 million. If it's not a universal application, is it a rule?
It's universal. Sometimes there are people that have special situations. I tell you, I'm sure that he will pull through, and I'm sure that he'll end up, he'll have great nachas from his children, and he'll eventually work out the problems. Don't give up. The tests sometimes are very difficult, but,
When there's a test.
Rabbi Cohen, nice to see you. My hands are wet.
I remember you.
He knows how to problem. Say it and do it.
When you're going for an exam, you know, 3 hours. You know, but
listen, what does he have to say about it?
I'm sorry?
What does he have to say about it?
I don't know. I see.
Do you know him? Or this is just a story you heard?
No, I don't.
You hear these stories.
People. No, I see people that come with these two.
They'll find a way to explain it. These people find meaning in everything. I'm telling you, there's so many people there that don't have, and they have miracles. This is part of the miracles. They come here, you think for the money they make here, they can make what they need. They come here, they make a little ishtadlus, and then Hashem helps them. I'm telling you, I've seen it every day of the week. There's no monopoly on this. Okay, I gotta run. Take care. I don't want you.
I hear,
but you'll see. You'll find out. They can't manage from this anyway. Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
I gave him the recipe.
Okay, good. Thank you. I gotta run. They're waiting for me.
Only
take care.
You're the best.
Okay, shkoya. Okay,
I will. I'm Brooklyn Wiener. I'm Moshe Osofsky's equipment.
Oh, very nice.
We went to yeshiva together. I was in Chofetz Chaim.
Really?
I was in the high school.
Not in my day. I'm an old man.
Yeah, I'm an old man.
No, come on.
I was in the high school.
Yeah.
And we paired off the guys in the base measures. And we
really?
Used to learn. I remember we used to take a three-word Rashi. We used to sit for a half an hour on a three-word Rashi.
Now I can sit for 2 hours on the same Rashi. Wow, look, you live in the neighborhood here?
I live in Chicago Heights.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
My daughter married.
They're wonderful people. Yeah. These are 8 o'clock at 9 hours. What, twins?
No. Brother.
Okay, good. Pleasure to meet you again. Kol tov. Amen. Thank you. Kol tov.